are forever, Lord of the ages, God before time. We are a vapor, you are eternal, love everlasting, reigning on high. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor, and glory be unto your name. Be unto We are the broken, you are the healer, Jesus Redeemer, mighty to save. You are the love song we'll sing forever, bowing before you, blessing your name. Savior died, my sinful soul is the rock, and may the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and may the God of my salvation be exalted. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. I will call upon the Lord.
Please be seated at this time.
When I fear my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, he will hold me fast. I could never keep my hold through life's fearful path. For my love is often cold, he must hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so, he will hold me saves are his delight. Christ will hold me fast. Precious in his holy sight, he will hold me fast. He'll not let my soul be lost. His promises shall last. Bought by him such a cause, he will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so, he will hold me fast. For my Christ will hold me fast. Justice has been satisfied. He will hold me fast. Grace with him to endless life. He will hold me fast. Till our faith is turned to sigh. When he comes at last, he will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so, he will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so, he will hold me fast.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we remember this morning that justice has been satisfied, Lord, that you have paid the penalty for our sin, and that for all of those who are in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation anymore, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for this amazing salvation. We remember that we're just a breath and a vapor. But Lord, you your love was so great that you shed the blood of your Son to redeem us, Lord. It's only in the name of Jesus Christ that we have this, Lord. I pray that we would all realize this and know this and believe this. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. We're going to be in Jeremiah chapter 19. Is someone doing children's church today? Okay. The kids can stay. We want to pray for Glenda. Glenda, she has anxiety sometimes that she can't control. Thank you, Greg, for helping out with that. Appreciate it. But let's pray for Glenda. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time. We pray, Lord, that you would have your hand upon Glenda. Just calm her spirits, Lord. Give her a peaceful, sound mind. Lord, bless our lesson as we go into it. God, you certainly hold us fast, Lord, in this kind of fragile shell of pottery that we are. And we just pray, God, that you would guide our lesson today in Jesus' name. Amen. We are going to be in Jeremiah 19. It's going to be a little shorter today, but it's important. And Jeremiah 19 is in response. If you remember, God continues to use Jeremiah to teach kind of lessons that are visible lessons. He took him to a potter. Remember that a couple chapters ago? And the potter was molding something in clay. It didn't come out right, so he kept molding it. And he used that to teach him the lesson that we're the clay, and God is constantly molding us into something better and greater if we just trust in him. So now he takes Jeremiah, and he preaches that message. And I want you to look at Jeremiah 18:11. I'll put it up on the wall. But this was the response to that message. God told them, "Return now, everyone, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. Just return. Come back to me, and everything will be fine. Let God mold your life." And look at their response. And they said, "That is hopeless. We will walk according to our own plans. We will everyone obey the dictates of his evil heart. We're going to do whatever we want, God. We don't need you. We don't want you. We don't want you to be our potter. We'll mold our own lives." And then in verse 18 of chapter 18, they devised a plan against Jeremiah to attack him with the tongue and not give heed to his words. And that's what we talked about last week, that there is going to be an attack on the word of God, and there's going to be a refusal to listen to the word of God. And so this brings us to chapter 19, that Jeremiah, after he prayed, then got right back to preaching. Even though he was going to be verbally attacked by the opposition like it is today, and that he was not going to be listened to. So did he say, "Well, forget it, I guess I'm done"? What did he do? Just kept on preaching. And so now God sends him in chapter 19. "Thus the Lord says, go and get a potter's earthen flask." And that's the key to the lesson today. What is a potter's earthen flask? It is what he made. But we know, especially during this time, it's usually ceramic or clay, and it's very, 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 very fragile. Breaks very easily. And it's not worth a whole lot unless you put something valuable inside of it. So he takes this potter's earthen flask, takes some of the elders and of the people and some of the elders of the priests, go to the valley of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the potsherd gate, and proclaim there the words that I will tell you. And say, "Hear the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Behold, I will bring such a catastrophe upon this place that whoever hears of it, his ears will tingle." So he takes them down to this place called the Valley of the Son of Hinnom, also called Topheth. And he takes this earthen flask, this potter's flask, and he stands there and pronounces God's response to their refusal to listen to him. And God's response is what? There's going to come a catastrophe. It's going to be so immense that people's ears are going to tingle because everyone's going to talk about it. Because you are, look at, to whom much is given, much is required. These are God's chosen people. It's his temple. It's his people. The descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they look at God and they say, we don't want you. We don't need you. And God says, well, you're about to be made an example of. Because clay pots, all of you clay pots, you just can't stand and tell God you're not going to do what he says because you don't feel like it and not have the consequences that come from it. The world needs to know this. See, it's not just Christians who are the earthen vessels of God. It is every single human being. We are all created in God's image. What's interesting about this little place, let me read to you 2 Kings 23:10. It'll be up on the wall. This is in Josiah's time. And in the valley of the son of Hinnom, here's what he says. And he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, that no man may take his son or his daughter and pass through the fire of Molech. And so in 2 Kings 23, Josiah, they find the Bible in the temple. They are fixing it. And he gets it and begins to read the Bible and begins to understand that they have been wicked. And so his response is to tear down all of the false kind of idols to Baal and all of the false altars to Baal. And then he goes to this valley of the son of Hinnom, also called Topheth. The word Topheth means drum. And here's why they call it Topheth. Because they would take their children and offer them by fire to a false god named Molech. And the only way to please this god was to send your children and put them on this heated altar of metal so they would burn. And the children would scream, so they would take drums and play them so loud that you couldn't hear the screams of the children. This is called it's interesting. It's called the Dung Gate. It's called the Valley of Hinnom. It's also called Gehenna. It's also a picture of hell. In fact, in Matthew 27, remember when Judas threw the money back at the Pharisees and he went and hung himself? Well, the Pharisees and priests, they would not accept the money back. And they threw the money. The Bible says in Matthew 26, they took the money and threw it into the potter's field. Or what they said now is called the what? The field of blood. This place in the valley in Hinnom was a dump. It was a place of debauchery. It was a place of, are you going to children's church? Okay, if any children want to go to children's church with Miss Leanne, you may go at this time. If you want to stay in here, it's a pretty good lesson. You'll like it. Oh, yes. I guess I'm boring. Anybody else want to go? Okay. So this place is, it's very much an illustration of sin and degradation. And the worst of the worst of human nature, where their children were offered as sacrifices, the blood of the innocent. I'm glad we live in a society we would never sacrifice our children before they're even born. We got to watch ourselves, amen? Yeah. We got to keep an eye, we got to watch ourselves. And so he takes them to this place, and he holds this potter's earthen vessel. And in verse 4, he says why. He says, because they have forsaken me. All they had to do was turn to God. That's all anybody has to do. They made this an alien place because they burned incense to other gods whom neither they nor their fathers nor their kings of Judah have known. They filled this place with the blood of the innocents. They have also built high places to Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings, which I did not command or speak. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that this place shall no longer be called Tophet or the Valley of Hinnom, but the Valley of Slaughter. He says, this is the place you want to worship. This is the place you want to sacrifice your children. This is the place you'll meet your death. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Man's wickedness is revealed at this valley, and in this valley, man's wickedness will be dealt with. Sin will be dealt with someday. We live in a world of wickedness, but someday it will be dealt with. Make sure you're on the right side. Because here's what the Bible says in Matthew 18:6. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man who causes these offenses. It's better that a millstone be hung around your neck. The world is certainly causing our children to go away from God. We won't even allow them to have Bibles. We won't allow them to learn about the Lord. We're teaching them things opposite to God. Woe to those who turn their children away from God. Jude is about to experience these woes. In verse 7 through 9, it says, I'll make void the council of Judah and Jerusalem in this place. I'll cause them to fall by the sword before their enemies in the hands of those who seek their lives. Their corpses I will give meat to the birds of heaven and the beasts of the earth. I'll make this city so desolate, a hissing, and everyone who passes by it will be astonished and hiss because of the plagues. I'll cause them to eat the flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters. Everyone shall eat the flesh of the friend in the siege and desperation in which their enemies and those who seek their lives will drive them in despair. And what nations would do, including Babylon, is they would come to a place like Jerusalem, and before they attack it, they would besiege it. What that means is they would surround it, letting no food in and no food out. And it would get so desperate in Judah when Babylon comes that the only way they will survive is to turn to cannibalism. And God says, but all you have to do is turn to me. He that has the Son hath life, but he that has not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abides on him. This is what we're trying to help the world see, that there is a Gehenna, there is a hell, there is a field of blood, and it's called hell. And we don't want anyone to go there. We have the message of love. Please turn to God. Don't go there. And then the key to the message today is verse 10. Then he shall break the flask in the sight of the men and go with who go with you. And say to them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, even so I'm going to break this people in the city as one breaks a potter's vessel, which cannot be made whole again. And they shall bury them in Tophet till there's no place to bury. Thus I will do this to this place, says the Lord, and to its inhabitants, and make the city like Tophet. And the houses of Jerusalem, the houses of the kings of Judah shall be defiled like the place of Tophet, because all the houses and the roofs have burned incense to the hosts of heaven and poured out a drink offering to other gods. You see this place of darkness, this place of blood, this place of sin. All of Judah will become just like this dump. And all of you as a nation will be broken like this broken flask. As I throw this flask in and it shatters everywhere, not even possible to be re-put together, he says, this is what's coming if you continue to reject me. Then Jeremiah came from Tophet in verse 14, and he goes and stood in the court of the Lord's house and said to the people, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I'll bring on this city and all the towns all the doom I pronounced against it, for they stiffen their necks that they may not hear my words. So he goes to the temple, and he stands with the same message. He says, look at this temple without God, without truly worshiping the true God, you're no better than the dump over here. You know better, the sacrifices of children to Molech, as horrible as that is, your sacrifices to yourselves here in the temple, you're no better. The murderer in prison who is evil and wicked, and the person that is trying to get to heaven on their own works and righteousness, they're just as separate from God, just as far from him. Because it's not what the outer shell looks like. It's not what the outer flask looks like. It only matters what's inside that flask. It's the only thing that matters. We are the flask. And mine's breaking down. How about yours? Feeling pretty good? My flask is, you know, the Bible says we're beat on every side, and it's tough being in this flask. Here's what the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:20. In a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. So how is your flask, how is your potter's vessel doing spiritually? Is it a vessel of honor for God, or is it a vessel of dishonor for yourself? 2 Corinthians 4:6. It is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Isn't that a beautiful verse? We have in our hearts the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Amen. Where is it? Inside our hearts. Look at the next verse. It's the key to the message today. Verse 7. But we have this treasure where? It's in earthen vessels. God has molded this pot. I have a great friend in Tennessee. His name is Wade Klopek. His wife is the one we pray for. She's got ALS. And he's in Tennessee, and he listens, watches these messages online every week. By the time I get up, he's already listened and heard it. And so he sent me a message today. He says, I guess I'm just a crackpot for Jesus. And if you know Wade, Paige knows Wade. Wade, that's a pretty good explanation of Wade. He is a crackpot for Jesus. He'll do anything to win a child to Christ. But that's where we are. It's these earthen vessels. Why? So the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. He does it on purpose. So we can't take the glory. You know, and we try to dress up. You know, I don't know, maybe someday I'll come in, spike my hair a little bit, put a little things on the edge, make it a little fancy, and grow a beard. I'll come in here and look good. Probably not. We'll give it a, what do you think, Liz? Look silly. We try to dress up the outside, but nothing matters if there's garbage coming out of the person's mouth. It's Christ. So in this vessel, we can actually fill it with something amazing. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine, but be what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus explains this perfectly. I don't even have to explain it. So turn to Matthew 25. We're done with Jeremiah for the day. So turn to Matthew 25. It's so perfectly explained by Jesus that the outside is irrelevant. That's what I said. To the whole point. Verse 1 of chapter 25. He says, the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps, went out to meet the bridegroom. Well, who's the bridegroom? We know it is Jesus. The church is the bride. 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil in them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. So they're waiting for the bridegroom, who we know is Jesus. What's the oil? It's the Holy Spirit. It is five saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, and five unsaved, who were not ready when Jesus returns, because the vessels looked exactly the same on the outside. But a lamp with no oil is just glass. So at midnight, a cry was heard, and behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. And all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, said, no, lest there should not be enough for us. But go to those who sell and buy for yourselves. This is important. The ones with the oil, I can't give you oil. I can't lay my hands on you and save you. I can't pray you into heaven. I can point you to the Savior. That's all we're doing. If you look at the book of Acts, it's really interesting in the first part of it when Jesus was going to John. He's going to call the apostles, and they don't believe. And they just simply say, well, come and see. Come and see. I think it was Nathanael that came, and Jesus said, oh, I saw you under the tree. And he says he believed. Thomas, come and see. Larry talked about it this morning. Unless I see the nail prints in his hands. And so our message is just come and see. Come see who Jesus is. Read your Bibles. See who he is. And they said, look at you five. You need to go to the only person that can give you oil. That's God himself. Verse 10, they went to buy. The bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him and to the wedding, and the door was shut. It's a sad verse right there. Afterward, the other virgins came, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Could Jesus come back today? How's your earthen vessel? Are you filled with the Spirit? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? This is a salvation message for sure. The kingdom of God is only filled with those whose earthen vessels have been filled with the Holy Spirit. And the only way to have the Holy Spirit is to trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but God demonstrates his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And if you confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart he's risen from the dead, you'll be saved. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's got nothing to do with the outward religious stuff. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Have you asked him to be your Lord and Savior? If you have, you're a wise vessel filled with oil and the Holy Spirit. If you have not, then when he comes, you'll be left behind. An empty vessel is good for nothing. In fact, Psalms chapter 2, verse 9, talking about those who reject God, the Bible says, you shall break them by a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. God says those without the Holy Spirit just get dashed to the side. The earthen vessels are all the same. They're flawed. They're fragile. But with the Holy Spirit, everything changes. And we have a responsibility, those of you who are vessels filled with the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 starts with a very interesting phrase, for this is the will of God. How many times have anybody asked you, boy, I just wish I knew what the will of God was for my life? Well, this is what it is. It says that your sanctification, the word sanctification means to be separate from your own desires unto God. So he says, This is the will of God for your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. So what we're trying to do is learn how to handle this vessel. How are we going to find out? Brenda mentioned this in Sunday school class today. What is the only way to really know how to handle this vessel that God gave us? We've got to study the Word. We have to know what the Bible has to say, Old Testament and New Testament, know what God says, know what He wants us to do, know what He doesn't want us to do, so that our vessel becomes a vessel of honor and not a vessel of dishonor. So there's two steps. Number one, fill your lamps, fill your vessel with the most precious thing, the treasure of God, the Holy Spirit, through salvation. Get saved. It's as simple as that. Step two, start learning now how to handle this vessel that's sometimes not a very nice little vessel. How did Paul says, in my flesh dwells what? No good thing. It's not the outside that counts. It's that inside. What does the Bible say? God doesn't look on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart, where the spirit should be. We shared this verse earlier, but we'll do it again. 2 Timothy 2:20. In a great house, there's not only vessels of gold and silver and of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. So then the next verse will go on. It says this, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master. I like Old King James says, fit for the master's use, prepared for every good work. See, we can take this vessel and we can clean it. How do we do that? If you can confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So we can go from a vessel of dishonor to a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master. We can actually not only clean the outside, but be qualified to be used by God himself. If you want to follow this with me, I'm going to read the next few verses in 2 Timothy chapter 2. It actually gives us a game plan for being an honorable vessel. And it's a game plan we need to listen to. Here's what the Bible says. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee youthful lusts. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who are calling the Lord out of a pure heart. Get away from sin. Get your eyes on the things they ought to be on. Pursue what's righteousness and love each other. Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing they generate strife. I'm glad we live in a culture that's not involved in all kinds of debates and disputes and that kind of stuff 24/7. This is how we set ourselves apart. We look different, don't we? The servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps grants them repentance, so that they may know the truth. So we humbly, calmly, and sweetly present the truth, praying that God would somehow open the eyes and the hearts to the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. That's what's happening in the world today. People have been taken captive by Satan. And you look at people sometimes, you say, boy, have they lost their senses? Yes, they have. So we, in a gentle, loving way, not compromising the truth, carrying this treasure in our own earthly vessel, say, yeah, I'm just like you. We're the same. We're broken. We're fragile. But I got my lamp filled with oil. Wouldn't you like that? Don't you want that? That's a life lived fit for the master's use. Last thing I'll say today is I praise God that I have a new vessel coming, that I am not going to have this vessel in eternity. 2 Corinthians 5:1, we know that our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is in heaven. My body physically groans, but I'm also sick of the sin part of my body. I'm just sick of it. I'm sick and tired. I really love Jesus. I want so bad to please him. And I still act like a fool. But praise God for Philippians 3:20. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. Holy cow, what a statement. According to the working by which he is able to subdue all things to himself. I know that we're going to know each other in heaven, but I don't have any idea how you're going to recognize me, because the sinful part of me is going to be gone. So there's not going to be a whole lot left to be transformed into his glorious body. So there's going to come a time when the spiritual part of us is going to be in right syncopation with the physical part of us. Yes, syncopation, Liz, it's a word. We're going to be completely different. Praise God for that as it breaks down. So, last thing we'll say. Do you want to be fit for the master's use? Do you want to spend your time left? Remember, our citizenship is in heaven. So while we're temporarily here in this temporary vessel that is going to be sometime they buried in a ground if the Lord doesn't return, while our soul and spirit goes to the new body. Here's what it says about Paul. Acts 9:15, the Lord said to him, talking to Ananias, who said, God, are you sure you want to use Saul of Tarsus? And he says, we'll go, for he is a what? Chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles and the children of Israel. We're cracked pots for Jesus. And so what we want to do is make sure we're saved. Because without it, you're the virgins with no oil in the lamp. And then we want to continually grow and be more like Christ to make sure this vessel is fit for use in the master's hand. As I pray, Silas, come up. We'll do the last song that you did. Lord, we thank you, Father, for this time. Lord, this is a very simple message. It's all through the scripture. We carry the treasure of the gospel in earthen vessels. Lord, you tell us in Romans 15, we have to bear with one another's scruples. There are all kinds of different personalities in this room, all kinds of different vessels, all kinds of different pots. We all have one thing in common. Lord, we are flawed, fragile, and in need of the Holy Spirit to fill our pots so that we can be fit for the master's use. Help us to help each other in this journey of growth. In Jesus' name, amen.
What's that song?
He will hold me fast.
Okay, he will hold me fast. Let's stand as we sing. And as you're singing this song, he will hold me fast, just think of him holding this pot together that's about to completely disintegrate.
When I fear my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, he will hold me fast. I could never keep my hold through life's fearful path, for my love is often cold. He must hold me. will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast. Those he saves are his delight. Christ will hold me fast. Precious in his holy sight, he will hold me fast. He'll not let my soul be lost. His promises shall last. Bought by him at such a cost, he will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast. For my life he bled and died. Christ will hold me fast. Justice has been satisfied. He will hold me fast. Raised with him to endless life, he will hold me fast till our faith is turned to sigh. When he comes at last, he will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast.
Lord, we are fragile vessels of yours. Lord, hold us fast. Lord, let us not disappoint you, embarrass you, but Lord, let us be vessels of honor. Lord, let you get the glory. Without you, we would just be nothing. So Heavenly Father, help us, Lord, to sanctify ourselves, separate ourselves from the world, and be honorable vessels fit for the Master's use. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you so much. Have a great day.